Relevant to the discussion questions, I'm taking a look at lecture one, their slide 11 and part six of the lecture series where I talk about managers versus leaders, where they overlap, where they don't overlap. Leaders are going to have the capacity to do everything a manager does, but a manager cannot do everything a leader does. So that might be a touch point to reflect on, when answering that question. And so management doesn't necessarily have a style to it. It's literally managing a process that's been given to you, and getting the widget from point A to point B, getting the relationship from point A to point B following procedure. Leadership, when you start to look at influence, the influence process is a lot more nuanced. Whereas you're not necessarily following a scientific pre-written SOP to get a thing done, although it may exist. The influence process looks at what other buttons do I need to push that are tangible and not tangible to help my team navigate through said issue. So it may be a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It's very similar to if you watch your grandmother cook. And if she cooked, or your mother or somebody in your life who cooked, when you watch them cook, they put all these things together inside this particular dish, and it always tastes exactly the same, always amazing, always just good. But when you watch them do it, it's a little bit of that, a little bit of this. And if you ask them, hey, so what's the right measurement for this? They can't quite tell you because it's so nuanced, depending on what's in front of them, depending on the condition of the meat, the nature of the dish. Do we need to add a little bit more flavor here because this is not necessarily the best? So while they could tell you, you could scientifically break it down, the influential process, which you call leadership, is very much the same. That there was something different about Lee today that has shown up in our work and has really been bothering her for the past 3 months. So I'm going to push this particular button with Lee versus this other button. Even though I know Lee's various capacity levels, the adjustment is a result of studying Lee, assessing Lee, and then figuring out what's the best way to influence Lee. How I influence Lee may be totally different from what I do from Marianne and April, because they're in a different space for whatever reason. So the influential process, and it's similar with our children. You never parent each child the same. It's just different. Management doesn't quite have that nuance to it. And I believe I covered that in detail, slide 11, lecture one. And so if you want to look at your management style, sure, you can look at it and say, I like to follow the process. It's also okay if, and again, this is the honesty part. This is not about a right answer. If I was to answer that question, given this time in my career and in my life, the answer I would give today would be, I'm probably a disobedient manager. I have been. Because while I can follow a process, if I notice it's broken, I will fix it and then start to tweak it and start to do things that are not in policy because it doesn't make any sense. It's got me in trouble, got me fired. That's why I'm not a great employee, but a better entrepreneur. So, but it's all a reflection of like, that's how I manage, because I just think that I don't follow process for the sake of following process if I know it's broken. But if you do that, if you follow process, come hell out of water, just understand where that leads you and how that can have a ripple effect in your career, you know, where you're kind of stuck in this particular role and it's hard to get out of because you struggle to see nuance or you struggle to see an opportunity to change or introduce something new. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So my lectures are challenging managers to no longer be managers, because our industry needs more leaders to step up and to be present. We don't have enough money to be managing a process. We have too many families to help. We have too many communities to save. So managing things the same way that it has been done perpetuates this stuck culture within the organizations and the communities that we serve. I'm suggesting we need more leaders. who are disobedient, respectfully, because we do need managers and good frontline workers. But if you aspire to be truly transformational and truly a leader, you're going to have this rebel gene in you that looks at things differently. So when you take course 615 and I start talking about the blue ocean for a youth program as a sample, we're going to dive deep into what that looks like. Yeah, so I don't know if I can take credit for it. I don't recall if it's a quote from the text or something I was just riffing on. But a lot of the perspective of leadership you hear from me, particularly in this first class, is built around the framework of self-leadership. So you said grow, evolve, and transform. If you haven't heard me say it yet, you'll likely hear me say it in upcoming lectures, the importance and the role of self-leadership. Leadership is defined as the ability to influence others to achieve a goal or a set of goals. Self-leadership is the ability to influence yourself to achieve a goal. Very internalistic, very personal. Motivation does not come from outside sources. You don't need to be amped up. You don't need to be hyped up. You just find it within. You dig within. So there are tons of cultural references that you can point to where you see people who do amazing things and they just dug deep. Well, one of my favorite examples came a couple days ago watching Sha'Carri Richardson win 100-meter dash in the women's world championships. What's amazing about this? So obviously, if you follow her story, she, you know, was wilding out. You know, she was tripping. You know, got disqualified the past couple of years, smoking weed. You know, didn't make the team last year. This year, she came back super focused, won a bunch of major races. But let me just tell you what stands out for me that made this super impressive. I used to run track up until middle school, and so I had like this love for it. She was placed because of her lack of good timing in the semis in lane 9. Lane 1, lane 9 is terrible because you don't have competition on both sides. You only have competition on one side or the other. She only had competition on her left side. Terrible lane position. Number 2, she ran a terrible time in the semis. So you can question confidence. Number 3, commentators weren't even talking about her. They were talking about the two Jamaicans who, when you look at the race, appeared to be winning the race, but end up losing. Given everything over the past 4 years she's been through, her breakout season this year, terrible showing in the semis of the championships, and this amazing win, and from lane 9, that's personal. That is some deep stuff. She pulled this out so much so that she was shocked that she won. If you watch the YouTube clip, I was impressed by the race, the way she won, and then my heart was warmed by her reaction. It was just so pure of like, what just happened? It was one of those things. I share it as an example of like, man, when everything is like going absolutely wrong, self-leadership digs deep. So the phrase grow, evolve, and transform likely stems from you do it first as a self-leader. And one of the forms of leadership I believe we cover in lecture 2 is the 4 I's of leadership. And one of the 4 I's of idealized influence is all about this modeling behavior. It's very difficult to teach what you haven't practiced or what you haven't overcome. So all these things we're teaching in these 5 courses in this master's program were designed for you to spend quality time over the next 14 months building this internal self-leadership gene that you bring back to your organization week after week, semester after semester, modeling what it's like to go through a transformative process that has deep impact within your nonprofit organization. That's likely the context of me riffing on that. And you'll likely continue to hear me articulate this idea that you got to do it first. You got to model this thing first. You got to figure it out first so you can teach it. And it's no different, you know, me sharing with you how to win in academics in this program. We're not even talking about the course. We're talking about real life stuff last week and this week. I already told you how to win in the course because I did it and somebody showed me how to do it. And so that's the easy stuff.